This morning, I take your Bible. Let's quickly go through some things, and hopefully this will be a help. And I appreciate your pastor. I appreciate you, this ministry here, and what you are doing. It is a tremendous blessing to me and our folks back home, and we really appreciated and appreciate you all coming to our camp meeting once a year. And again, of course, we want to see you all back, and this is all part of as a family, we're all part of the same family here in this regard. And doctrine holds us together. And so I want to speak to you just for a few moments in this first hour. It'll be a lot of doctrinal teaching, and we'll look at some things. But let's go to Revelation 1, 1 through 2. We're going to read four passages in Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, 1 through 2. The Bible says, and I'll go quickly through these things to try to conclude at the time we need to so we could keep things moving along. But that's why we have a round table, if we call it that, I suppose. Better than calling it the square table, we'll just call it the round table. And we talk about different things we've heard or different issues throughout the camp meeting. And I think that's what makes the meetings unique. And that's where a lot of doctrine is learned. But Revelation 1, 1 through 2, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Revelation 1, verse 9. I, John, also am your brother and your companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12, verse 17. Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The last passage, Revelation 19, verse 9 through 10. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I want to speak to you about the testimony of Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, if we were to ask, what is the testimony of Jesus Christ? I believe a lot of folks would assume that you're a Christian, you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. But the Bible is specific as to what the testimony of Jesus Christ is. And the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. And that's what we have to understand. And with that, we're going to quickly go through some things, so please take notes if you like. Now, we understand in regard to the testimony of Jesus Christ and what the testimony is, it is the spirit of prophecy. And it's not just simply believing that Jesus died and rose again, that you're a child of God, but the testimony of Jesus specifically is going to be the spirit of prophecy. Now, we know in Mark chapter 11, verse 13, it says, for all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. Now, I know the universalists like to put John as in the Old Testament, but if you read it, it's pretty clear that the law and the prophets were until John. So John was a New Testament prophet, as we read in the book of Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel, and that started. John was the one that first preached it. And so the law and the prophets, so we have as we understand, the testimony of Jesus. Now here's John, he's going to be proclaiming Christ, and he's going to be testifying of Christ. And we see that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so here in conclusion, we see that all the law and the prophets were until John. So therefore, everything up till John, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of which John now is going to proclaim. And we see in Luke 16, verse 16, it says the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And again, we see where the prophecies now are concluded concerning Christ. He said, concerning me, as he said in Luke 24:44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So when John wrote in regard to the testimony of Jesus, he was saying that the spirit of prophecy is his testimony. So we look at the prophecies in the Old Testament concerning Christ and what they were. We're going to look at a few things concerning this. But if we look in the scripture, what we'll find is how that, you know, Christ was seen all through the Word of God in the Old Testament concerning he was the unleavened bread. He's the high priest. He's the temple. He is everything. He is the Lamb, and all of these things concerning him. And so all of these things, the spirit of prophecy, are concerning him. And so we understand his testimony is the spirit of prophecy. Now, we also have to understand a thing that's called dispensations. You know, this is a big word that people like to spring around, but basically what dispensation are for, it allows us to have situational awareness. That's the reason for dispensations. And we see that the dispensation concerning the salvation of man. Now, without these dispensations and the situational awareness, man really would have no need to pursue God or understand as God is pursuing him. And in regard to the subject of salvation. And so we have back in time, we have what was called dispensations. You know, we have such as the age of conscience or the age of the law. We have human government. We have even now as we're in a dispensation. But each dispensation was a building block building upon certain things. And these were taught and understood, and going from one dispensation to another, it allowed man to have the understanding of dispensational or situational awareness, and such as right after the flood and human government was established with Noah, we find that God right away got with Abraham, and there they had their time together and the promises that were made unto him, the slaughter of the kings. Melchizedek met Abraham after that slaughter, and he met him with bread and wine. And that was a personification of Jesus Christ and the ordinances, if you will. We have the Lord's Supper, and this is the promise of him coming. And so this is the spirit of prophecy, and this is Christ's testimony. So we can see Christ all through the Word of God. And the word dispensation, if we were to look at a definition of it, it simply means this. It simply is administration of an economy. And now we use that term, and you'll hear that term probably more frequently where we talk about Old Testament economy. It's not dealing with economics as we understand it, as with money, but it's dealing as the stewardship of that present dispensation, or shall we understand it, the situational awareness based upon the thing that is governing that dispensation at that time. And so it's a situational awareness. And, you know, even witnessing to an individual, there's certain building blocks you have to lay before they come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And so we can see that in a microcosm, and this is laying things out. And but when we look at the larger scale concerning dispensations, all of these dispensations or these economies that were set up, and it's a stewardship, whether it be Old Testament economy, as we understand with the Levitical law, etc., these things all contain the spirit of prophecy pointing to the coming of the Savior, coming of Christ, the Messiah, and so this this is what it means. Now, the Bible mentions the word dispensation, Ephesians chapter 1, and in verses 8 through 10, it says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, and as he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So the Bible talks about the dispensations here of the fullness of times, plural. And so there have been these multiple dispensations, and it's not that man is saved in different ways, and that, I believe, is what some would call hyper-dispensationalism. But what dispensations were was creating the situational awareness, even in Abraham's day, where the situational awareness of his time and how that God promised him that he would inherit the land. And yet, during his lifetime, Abraham, when you read there in chapter 7 of the book of Acts, Abraham did not inherit one square foot to put his foot upon, but yet he believed, and the Bible says God imputed unto him righteousness because he believed, when you read there in Romans chapter 4. But what we understand is the situational awareness that Abraham had was he believed, obviously, in the resurrection, because that's the only way he would inherit. And so at the return, and when Christ returns, the land, Abraham then would become the inheritor of the land as God promised him. And obviously, he had to believe in the resurrection. And so we also see that with his son Isaac. And this is a spirit of prophecy that pointed unto Christ. And so during the situational awareness that these had, whether it be David, Moses, Abraham, it wasn't that God would save people in different ways. It was that God was building, and the situational awareness of that dispensation, putting together these building blocks of prophecy that was pointing gradually one by one in different times, pointing unto Christ. And then the law and the prophets were until John. So no more dispensations are going to be made as far as pertaining to Jesus Christ and who he is. And so that is why the law and the prophets, boom, were until John, not after. So it ended there. And John now began to testify who Jesus Christ was. And that's what Jesus said in the book of Luke, where he mentioned that these things concerning me must be fulfilled, and they were. So understand what a dispensation is, and it is to create the situational awareness. Well, let's look at a couple of things in the Word of God concerning the situational awareness that they were in. We find in the book of Genesis chapter 38, if you want to turn there, please do, or just write it down and listen. But here we have a prophecy concerning Christ in the two covenants that were promised. And many folk don't realize that the Old Testament really is the second, and how that the New Testament in reality was the first, and how that when you read in the book of Galatians 3, and we'll see that in a moment, it mentions that 430 years before Moses, God confirmed the New Testament in Abraham, and it was confirmed. And so this is a dispensation, situational awareness, and that was the reason for these prophecies and the dispensations. And so when people, they like to take dispensations and hyperize them and make people saved in different ways, they totally misunderstand the reason for dispensations. It is not God saving in different ways. It is God bringing forth a situational awareness and bringing things into fruition to the point there in the Jordan River when the prophet John stood, and all the law and the prophets were until then. No more are there going to be these kind of dispensations concerning Christ. Christ will fulfill all of these. But we see in regard to the two covenants as an example of what we see in Genesis 38, verse 27 through 30. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that, behold, his brother came out. And she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach is upon thee. Therefore his name was called Perez, if I'm pronouncing that right. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was Zerah. So we have two twins that were born, and here we see this is the spirit of prophecy here concerning the testaments, and we have the Old Testament that would come, and we have the New Testament. And so what you have first is the promise of the coming of the New Testament, and by the signification of the first twin reaching forth his hand, and the midwife tied a thread upon his wrist, and he pulled his hand back in, then the other child was born first. And so what we see in a spirit of prophecy here is the New Testament was confirmed before the Old, and that's what this is pointing to. If you go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, we'll read this passage of Scripture here concerning this. And this, of course, is dealing with the purpose of dispensations. And I think it does everyone well to understand what a dispensation is, because you will deal with these hyper people that do not believe the kingdom even is now. They even say the church is started in Acts chapter 10. So they're getting away from the truth. And so when we understand what the truth is concerning the purpose of a dispensation and that Christ is the spirit of these prophecies, we see in Galatians 3, verse 16 through 17. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the promise was not made to Abraham and all the Jewish descendants. It was made to Abraham specifically and to his seed singular, which is Jesus Christ. And then what we say, now we understand there's promises made to the house of Israel, but in the context here, we're seeing now in verse 17. It says here in verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 400 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. And some may say, well, why was the Old Testament put in force? And if you'll read further on, it says, because of transgression. That's why. But yet what we find here, that the promise was made by the scarlet thread and how it was put upon that child's wrist. He pulled it back in. That was a confirmation of the New Testament of what Jesus started and the New Testament church. And that is what was promised there in that prophecy. So his testimony is the spirit of prophecy. We see that four times in the Revelation. So when we deal with the spirit of prophecy as Christ's testimony, may I say, if we are hyper-dispensationalists and you believe things in a different manner, you do not have the testimony of Jesus. His testimony is very specific. It is not your testimony, it is his. So we have his testimony, you have yours. And somebody that does not believe the dispensation concerning the New Testament and how it came and so forth, and you believe some other different idea about it, you do not have the spirit of testimony as we've seen in the book of Revelation and dealing with it. It is the spirit of prophecy, as these have the testimony of Jesus. And so when we look at all of these things, and we have to understand it in the context of how they were written, and this is what we know as the doctrine of Christ. It's very narrow. Broad is the way and narrow is the way. It depends on which way you want it. Very narrow. It's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father, one Spirit. Very, very narrow. And it's his testimony. So we have to see it in that light. Now, concerning this, we have the two covenants. Now, here's another testimony concerning Christ and his and the covenants. We understand that the first covenant was promised 430 years before Moses. And how he promised Abraham this covenant, it was confirmed in Abraham. The New Testament that you and I enjoy today was confirmed 430 years before Mount Sinai. And so this is the symbolism of the wrist that come out, the scarlet thread put upon the wrist, coming back in, and then the other child was born first. That represents the Old Testament, or as it was called, at that time it was called the First Covenant. And then after the New Testament come along, and then it is called the Old, because the Old vanisheth away. Read there in Hebrews chapter 8 and also chapter 9. You'll read, and also 10. Those three chapters specifically deal with the covenants. And after those days, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Jeremiah 31, 31, Hebrews 8, verse starting in verse 10. You'll read there concerning these covenants. Chapter 9 is the covenant being fulfilled. Also read concerning the covenant there in chapter 10. Very clear what is being stated. Now, let's look as an example here of the testimony of prophecy here as concerning the two covenants. We look in Genesis 25, and we'll read here. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, the two covenants. Go to Deuteronomy 22. Now, we look at the two covenants. Have you ever read in the Word of God where it talks about the mixing of wool and linen, new clothes sewn to an old garment? Jesus spake of that. He talked about new wines and old bottles. You cannot mix the Old Covenant Testament with the New Testament. One must end and the other begins. And so we've seen this, what Jesus said. You can't take new wine, put it in old bottles. You cannot take an old garment and sew on new cloth. And what he's referring to is the Judaizers and how that they mix both covenants together. You cannot, one has to end, the other begins. And so we have to understand that very clearly. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 11, thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Now this is an economy of the Old Testament, of the Levitical law. This is a dispensation, and it created a situational awareness. Why can you not wear these two together? Now, people today, People today even go back to the Levitical law and they'll have their little cults and they'll say, the Bible says you cannot put these two together. Well, these have been fulfilled in Christ because his testimony is the spirit of prophecy. This is dealing with mixing of the two covenants together. That's what he's dealing with, because 430 years before this, God already promised to Abraham, dealing with the covenant. It was made in Abraham, the covenant of the New Testament was already promised. And so keep in mind, Israel, don't mix these two together. When the time comes, when he's standing there, and the prophet that Micah talks about, the voice in the wilderness, when he's standing there proclaiming, don't ignore these things. You cannot mix them together. And so this created the situational awareness that was the purpose of a dispensation concerning Christ and his coming. Now, we also find in Matthew chapter 2, verse 21 through 22, he said, no man also soweth a piece of new cloth in an old garment, else the new piece that is filled up taketh away from the old. The rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine in old bottles, else the new wine doeth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles be marred, but the new wine must be put into new bottles. And so it's either Old Testament or new. You cannot mix the two. Yet people today, they still try to do so, do they not? Well, let's look at another one. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to read Genesis 25. We'll look at two kingdoms here. Now, we'll look at the two kingdoms. Now, we have Jacob and Esau, and we see a prophecy here again dealing with twins. And when her day, in Genesis 25, verse 24, and when her days were to be delivered, were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau, and after came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. Now his name was to be called Jacob. Isaac was 80 years old when she bare him. So here again, we have two twins being born. Again, they are representing as in dispensational understanding and situational awareness. And that's what these prophets would do, whether it be Abraham, David. They would see in situational awareness these illustrations, if you will, and they see what's taking place, twins, and one's holding on to the heel of the brother and will not let go. And so what does that symbolize? Now, if anyone, will look into Jacob's actions, he shall find them not destitute of meaning, but full of import. And with regard to the dispensations, thus, in the first place, at his birth, since he laid hold on his brother's heel, he was called Jacob the supplanter, one who holds but is not held, binding the feet but is not being bound, striving and conquering, grasping in his hand of adversity his adversary's heel, that is victory. For to this end was the Lord born, the type whose birth is set forth beforehand. So we see that this, again, has a spirit of prophecy. It points to Jesus. All right, it points to the covenant that he would establish in his own blood. One holds the other's heel. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25 through 29. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them. And interesting enough, he talks about the kingdom. And notice how he's explaining it. It's present tense about being divided. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. To every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his goods. This is the heel grabber. This is the prophecy of binding of the hairy one. And this is the heel grabber, and this is the dispensational awareness, the coming of the two covenants, and also Christ himself, the two kingdoms. Now here's another, Revelation 6:2, and I saw at the end, behold, let me go to Exodus 7, verses 8 through 12. Now the two serpents, remember Moses there with Pharaoh? We have the two serpents. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went up into Pharaoh, And they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now you know what that means? That again is situational awareness. We have Moses giving a type, casting his rod to the earth, in order that it, becoming flesh, might expose and swallow up all the opposition to the Egyptians, and was lifting itself up against the prearranged plan of God. Now, I'll read you one more verse, and we'll explain the spirit of prophecy here of what this means. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54. Now, what does the swallowing of the other rods mean as they became serpents? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that death is swallowed up in victory. That's what that means. You see, this is the spirit of prophecy in the Old Testament that pointed to these things. And this is what the testimony of Jesus is. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Father,